Grace, peace, and mercy are yours from our God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. It was a quiet December evening in the oncology unit at Georgetown University Hospital. Many of the rooms around the central nurses' unit were dark and empty. But in room 11, a man lay critically ill. It was Jack Swigert, the man who had piloted Apollo 13 and who was now a congressman-elect from Colorado's 6th District. Cancer was waging a deadly assault on his body, but the dying man had a tall, quiet visitor sitting in the spot he had occupied almost every night since Swigert had been admitted. The visitor was Bill Armstrong, a U.S. Senator from Colorado and one of the busiest, most powerful men in Washington. But he wasn't there night after night as a politician. He was there as Jack Swigert's friend, fulfilling a responsibility he wouldn't delegate or shirk as much as he disliked hospitals. This night, Bill leaned over the bed and spoke quietly, saying, "Jack, you're going to be all right. God loves you. I love you. You're surrounded by friends who are praying for you. You're going to be all right." The only response he got was Swigert's tortured, uneven breathing. Bill opened his Bible and began reading Psalm 23. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." Time passed. Psalm 150. "Praise the Lord." Bill began reading again. But then this time his skin prickled. Jack's ragged breathing had stopped. He leaned over the bed, then rang for the nurse. And as he watched her, he knew there was nothing more he could do. His friend was dead. Bill Armstrong was a true friend. It's this kind of friendship we see on the mountaintop between Jesus, Peter, James, and John. These men were regularly together at special times. Peter, James, and John were singled out to be with Jesus when he raised the daughter of Jairus and were invited to come closest to Jesus as he prayed in Gethsemane. And these three ended up leading the other disciples in special ways. Peter became the spokesman for the disciples after Jesus' resurrection and ascension. James was the first of the original 12 to be martyred, and tradition holds that John was the last to die after caring for Mary, the mother of Jesus, and living a long life and serving as pastor to the Christians in Ephesus. Jesus knew these men would need extra encouragement and training, so he singled them out to be with him at crucial moments. The Mount of Transfiguration was one of those moments. It was a special time, an important time. Jesus knew that he would soon enter Jerusalem, where he would be arrested and put to death. He knew those events would be extremely difficult for his disciples. So these three needed to be with Jesus, alone, away from the distractions of life, to get their thoughts in order. But even more, there on the mountaintop, Jesus wanted them to get a glimpse of the end of the story. Seeing Jesus' glory on the mountaintop would serve as a reminder to them in the years to come that he truly was who they had come to know him to be, the glorious Son of God. And that knowledge would strengthen them in the difficult times that lay ahead. It's so important to get away and be with the Lord, but it's so difficult to get away from the distractions of life, to be alone with God, to pray and meet and talk with Him. In a sense, this place, our place of worship, can be like that mountaintop, a place where we get away from the things out there and live life a little differently. We've set this place aside to worship and commune with God. It's not just a place to gather and socialize. We do things differently here. That's important too. Can you imagine there on the mountaintop, Peter turning to John and saying, "Hey, where'd you pick up those sandals? I really like that wide strap." Or James turning to the other two and saying, "Hey guys, come here. Look at this view. How high up do you think we are?" No, the mountaintop was a special time and place. A time to stop talking about the world. A time to get in touch with the Lord. Have you ever come here and never even met Jesus? I bet that's happened for all of us on occasion. We come and meet with friends and other friendly people, but for one reason or another, we miss Jesus. That's too bad, because more than anything, Jesus wants us to be with Him. Wouldn't it be great to leave this place each week and say, "I was with God today. He spoke to me in worship. He touched my life." I believe that's what we all want this place to be, a place where we meet with Jesus. When the disciples were on that mountaintop, it may have been a little easier for them. As Jesus was praying, He was changed, and they saw Him in a whole new light. They even heard the voice of the Father saying, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to Him." And there's the key. If we want to come and meet Jesus here, we must be open to hearing His voice. It means intentionally shutting out other things which compete and listening to what He says. Sometimes what He says will be hard to listen to. The disciples heard Jesus talking about His upcoming death, and I'm sure they didn't like to hear that. When Jesus speaks to us, He'll say things that we don't like to hear too. Sometimes He exposes things in our lives that don't conform to the Father's will. Then we're faced with a choice. We must either confront that particular sin, repent of it, and seek to change, or choose to live our lives knowing we are being willfully disobedient to Him. And as long as we are actively disobedient, we will continue to be uncomfortable in His presence. Sometimes Jesus will call us to live and think in a way that's different from what society says is right and proper. That also makes us uncomfortable, because it can put us at odds with our friends, the culture, or with our society in general. But it's important for us to listen to Him, even if it makes us uncomfortable or causes us to give something up that seems enticing or enjoyable. It's important because His word is still the power of God unto salvation for all who hear and believe it. We listen to Him because we know that as we do, we will be strengthened by Him. But Jesus doesn't always tell us things which are hard to hear. Often. I hope more often than not. We hear Him say things that encourage and comfort us. Life off the mountain, out there in the world, is filled with problems and heartaches. Loss of jobs, loss of health, difficulties in relationships with parents, spouse, children. All of these exist. But when we come here, Jesus tells us of his great love for us, a love which caused him to come down from the heights of heaven and become one of us, a love so great he was willing to go up once more, not up unto a mountain or into heaven, but up on a cross where he would suffer and bleed and die. Now, when we come to this place to meet Jesus, we come with hope because death, grave, and hell could not hold him. His strength was such that he broke their bonds and rose victorious over them. And he tells us that we too are victorious because he is with us. Like the congressman I spoke of earlier, Jesus stays by our side and shares encouragement and hope in the midst of what we'd call hopeless situations. As we meet with Jesus, he gives us the strength to deal with life's problems, but he also helps us by telling us how the last chapter of our life will read. While Peter, James, and John didn't like to hear Jesus speak of his death, they came to understand it for the powerful message of promise and victory that it is. Not just a victory for Jesus, but a victory for them as well. And it's our victory too. For every child of God, the last chapter of life reads, "I win," and Satan and the world loses. And one day, each of us will climb the mountain for the last time, and we will never have to back down. We will be able to stay with Jesus, Moses, and Elijah, with Peter, and James, and John, and with every other child of faith who has gone on before us. But until that day, let's regularly meet with Jesus. Let's come and listen to what he has to say. Let's listen to him as he calls us to inspect our lives and reflect on how we are following his lead. Let's listen to how he promises to be with us and how he'll strengthen us for the tough times. And let's especially listen as he tells us how much he wants us to be with him and what he's done to ensure that one day we will be with him.